Welcome to the Calvary Podcast. Get ready to dive into an inspiring message. Our aim is to share teachings that bring transformation and hope to your life. So open your heart, be ready to listen, and prepare for a powerful encounter with the Word. Let's get started.
So I want to share a new series today entitled The Transformer, The Transformer. Who am I speaking about? We're going to find out as we go through this today. Remember, we had left, and by the way, man, I heard we had such a great service last week. It's God moving and lives being changed, and it's so good. I want to congratulate you and commend you. I was speaking with Johnny Jernigan this week. He said, Pastor, he said, I know I'm thankful God used me, but he said, you know, when you walk into a church to minister, and people have been praying, and God has been moving, and people know how to respond to the Holy Spirit, he said, it's a whole different place. And he said, your church was ready for the Word. Your church was ready for a move of the Holy Spirit. And he said, there's a big difference. So I want to commend you guys for being who you are and for just receiving and loving and hungry for God's Word and God's presence. Well, remember where we left off. Let me just make a quick connection that will be in Acts 2. Remember Peter's last chapter that we had followed was not very, complimentary. It was not the chapter that anybody wants in their life. Remember, Peter had denied Jesus the night before the crucifixion. He'd followed him into the courtyard of the high priest. And there Peter denied Jesus three times after just telling him, hey, I'll die for you. Now, I don't want anybody to raise their hand, but has your mouth ever written a check that your faith couldn't back up? Yeah. Peter said, man, you can count on me. If everybody else fails you, I'm there. And then he denies him three times. And then not only did he deny him, and then we find him later and at the end of the Gospel of John, and he's taken half the apostles, half the future leaders of the church, and they followed him away from their call. They're back fishing again. You know what did? Peter gave up. He gave up. You know, he said something like this. I don't know if anybody resonates with this, but in that chapter of his life, he was so overcome with guilt and shame that from where he was standing, it just did not seem he could ever get back to where he was. He gave up. He went back to fishing. He said, I know I'm called to be an apostle. I know I walked with Jesus 3.5 years, but what I did was too bad. What I did was too wrong. How I fell was too far, and I just cannot get back there. You know, we hear people say things today, a lot of things like this, that, you know, I tried it, and listen, I want you to listen close, because you know that moment the Lord spoke to us a moment ago when he said, someone said, just curse God and die, just give up and go away. This is what that sounds like in our cultural narrative today. It's this, well, you know, you tried that, and that's just not you. Did you hear me? That's just not you. You know, I know you tried, but it's not you. You're really not that. You're really not a Christian. You were born to do something else. You're not like that. Well, can I give you some help today? No one was born a Christian. The Bible says we're all born sinners. Okay? And so as I try to look at my life apart from Christ, it doesn't fit. I never have asked anybody to come to go to church and try to be a Christian. We're born again into the kingdom of God. Listen, let me help us. We were born in a lot of trauma issues and drama in our life. Are you with me? We were born into a fallen world. We were born with a sinful nature. We were born sinners. Do you understand that? I know you were born in America and you pull for Auburn or Alabama and your mama's good, but you weren't born a Christian. Sorry. I know your grandpa was a pastor and you got baptized 13 times. You weren't born a Christian. We were born full of trouble. We were born with issues. But the Bible says we can be born again. Come on, how many are thankful for that? And so Peter had a chapter in his life that was so dark and dismal, he literally came to the conclusion, I just can't do it. I tried this preaching thing and I'm not that. I'm a fisherman. I tried this apostle thing, but that's not me. I'm just a fisherman. You know what? It's easier to give up in that dark place than go on. It's easier to walk back to where you came from than to pull yourself up. And so the last place we find Peter, it's not very complimentary. It's not a good season for him. Are you with me? It's his darkest hour. But we're about to read here in Acts chapter 2. It was just about 40, well, somewhere less than about a month later, we're going to read about Peter. I just told you his darkest chapter. But now we find something happening here. We're in Acts chapter 2. Peter did a couple of right things. He remembered what Jesus told him. We'll look at that in a moment. And he found himself exactly where he needed to be, and something happened there. We need to see this. So we're in Acts chapter 2, and let's go to verse number 12. So you know what happens in Acts 2? It's the birthday of the church. It's the launch of the church. It's the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And thankfully for Peter and all of us, he was there in that prayer meeting. Okay? Can I help you with something? In your darkest, deepest hour, in your greatest failure, I want you to hear me online right now. In a moment where you feel least likely and least connected and least worthy and all those things the devil whispers in your ear, the most important thing you can do in your worst day is not run from God, but run to God. The most important thing you'll ever do on the Sunday you don't feel like going to church is go to church. The most important thing you'll ever do on the day you don't feel like worshiping is worship. Because your feelings will lie to you, but your faith will get you where you need to go. Do you know that you can obey God without feeling it? Do you know that you can have faith without feeling it? Do you know the evidence of faith is not my feelings, it's my obedience? And so I can obey God when I don't feel it, when I don't like it, when I don't understand it, when I don't see it, I don't hear it, I don't feel it. Peter did one right thing. He was in the right place. Okay? And so the Holy Spirit is outpoured on all of them that were there. And a crowd gathers around them. They hear the rushing mighty wind. They hear them praying in unknown languages. They come running around. And I want to go to verse 12. And we're going to have, I don't know why we get stunned or set back or rattled or uneasy because your culture doesn't understand your faith. Okay? So go to verse 12. Amazed and perplexed, this crowd gets around them, Acts 2:12. Amazed and perplexed, they ask one another, what does this mean? Some, however, made fun of them and said, they've had too much wine. Well, it's only 9 in the morning. Come on. Now, some of you have had a hangover that long, but most of you hadn't started hitting it that early. Okay? I'll be honest. I've been in some churches. I am not for drinking. Okay? I'm for getting filled with the Holy Spirit. I've never had anything alcohol could do for me that God couldn't do better. Just since I'm on the subject. Okay. I've never found my peace and my faith and my hope in a bottle or a prescription. I got to get something from the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Anyway, that's just, you know, it's just whatever. That'll help somebody to look in the right place. So I want to say that first, because I have been in some church services, not here, where I'll be honest, it was so dead. I wish somebody would have accused them of drinking wine. I mean, I'm just saying. I didn't say I wish they had. I just said, okay, I could tell that went over well. So somehow we're made fun of them and said, they've had too much wine. And look at all the people to answer this. If there was anybody that was going to stand up, we just read about this Peter's guilt and shame and failure and giving up and it's all over. And then, come on, look at this. Then Peter stood up. Peter stood up. I mean, if he came from the back of the class to the first chair. You understand what I'm saying? In band, he wasn't even in the fifth chair. He was standing at the door trying to decide if they're going to let him play the horn again. And he goes to the first chair. You understand? In football, he wasn't even on the third string. He was the water boy. And he becomes the all-star quarterback. What in the world? Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice and addressed the crowd, fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem. Let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These men are not drunk as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. Look at this. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. You see, the Holy Spirit came on this man. Something shifted inside this man. And now the word of God is flowing to this man. He says, they're not drunk. This is prophetic. This is what the word said. This is what Joel said. Verse 17, in the last days, God said, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Yeah. Come on, somebody say hallelujah for that. That includes you and me. He says, this is for those of you that have got some prodigal sons and daughters. You need to write their name in your Bible right here. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your sons and daughters are not going to be prodigals, rebellious, angry, alcoholics, drug addicts, confused people. They're going to prophesy the word of God because the Bible says so. Okay? Young men will see visions. Old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days and they will prophesy. I'm going to mess you all up right now. Because I just read that your men and women will prophesy. Well, usually when you prophesy, you say something. And so I guess a woman can say something in church. Well, okay, I'm just going to stay with this right now. I just like making you think. Isn't it amazing what the Bible really says and what if somebody told me it said? Anyway, so what happened to him? Where did this guy come from? He preaches at the end of this and 3,000 people get saved. Who is this man? What happened to him? Who was writing this new chapter in his life? How did Peter get there? What transformed him? I want to know that. Do you want to know that? Because we've had some dark chapters. We've had some failure chapters. We've had some hopeless chapters. I want to know what happened to this man. I need to know what happened to this man. Do you want to know what happened to this man? We need to know. How did he even get in that prayer meeting? How was he positioned? Look with me. I'm building a case. Go to John chapter 14 and verse 15. How did he get there? What transformed him? What created this transformation? Well, John 14, look at verses beginning verse 15. They're in the Last Supper. This is the last gathering before Jesus would be arrested and crucified, all right? So we get to John 14, 15. Jesus is speaking, if you love me, you will obey what I command. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor. The word another means one just like me. So he says, I want you to listen. He's telling them that he's going, and they're upset and they're worried. So he says, I want you to listen to me. He said, I'm going to ask the Father. He's going to give you another counselor to be with you forever. See, he said, I'm going, and they're feeling very unsure, very unstable, very concerned. He said, look, I'm going, but one like me is coming, and he's never going to leave, okay? So then he says, he calls in verse 17, the Spirit of Truth, the Holy Spirit, one of the titles given the Holy Spirit. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him or knows him, but you know him. See, they've been walking in the presence of God. He said, you know him, for he lives with you. Oh, look at this. And he will be in you. Yeah. Wow. Yeah. Now, verse 18, I will not leave you as orphans. Watch this. He said, you got to get this. Jesus said, I'm going. I'm sending the Holy Spirit. And he says what? I'm going to be with you. So how's he going to be with us? Through the presence of the Holy Spirit. Yeah. All right. So Jesus said, this is what I want you to know. Okay. Look at chapter 16 and verse 7. We're in John. Go to chapter 16 and verse number 7. What do we see here? Same setting, Last Supper, upper room. But I tell you the truth, it is, watch this, it is for your good that I'm going away. Unless I go away, the counselor, the comforter, the Holy Spirit will not come to you. But if I go, I'll send him to you. Have you ever had those thoughts? I have, we all have, reading the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Reading about what Jesus did, seeing him walk on water, calm the storm, feed 20,000 people, 5,000 men and their families with one boy's lunch, raise the dead, open blind eyes, cause paralytics to jump up and run. Haven't you ever read that and said, man, I wish I could have been there? Come on, if you haven't, you don't know how to read the Bible. If you haven't, you have no imagination. You need to be raised from the dead. We read that, and it's like, wow, what would that have been like? Can you imagine walking with Jesus and seeing those things? And then he tells those who were there, something better's coming. Oh, come on now. Something better than that? What is it? The coming of the Holy Spirit. And why is that better? He says, since another one like me, and you've heard me teach this, but the thing that's better is that to be in the presence of Jesus in that day and time, you had to be there with him. You had to be where I could see him, hear him, touch him. And if he was in Jerusalem and I was in Jericho, I wasn't in the presence of God. And if he was in Bethesda and I was in Capernaum, I wasn't in the presence of God. But he said, I'm going to do something when Jesus, after he dies on a cross and pays the price for our salvation and he ascends back to heaven, the Holy Spirit's going to come and he's not just going to be with you, he's going to be in you. So you never have to worry ever again about being separated from me, wondering what would Jesus do? What would Jesus say? You remember that when Jesus was on the mountain with Peter, James, and John, and he was transfigured, and they saw him, and then he comes down off the mountain, and the disciples were in this big argument because this man brought a son that was full of a demon, and the demon was storming into the fire, and they couldn't cast the demon out. Remember that? And there was an argument, and said, what's going on? Well, because Jesus was on the mountain, and they were down here, they weren't getting any place. But Jesus told them, you don't ever have to worry again that I'm on a mountain and you're down here. Because if I'm living in you through the power of the Holy Spirit, everywhere you go, there I am. Okay? It's better. Jesus said to those who walk with them, it's better. So Peter evidently remembered that. He understood that. So let's go to Acts chapter 1 and verse number 4. I'm backing up. I read Acts 2. I'm answering the question, how did he get there? What happened to this man? How was he transformed? Well, just Jesus told them, you need the presence of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to lead. He's going to come. It's going to be better. So Peter, for a period of time, he just threw that away. But evidently, he became desperate enough. Evidently, he became weary enough, and he had to say, what did Jesus tell me? What were the things he said? Look at Acts chapter 1 and verse number 4. This is after his resurrection. Acts 1, 4, on one occasion while he was eating with them, he gave them this suggestion. Oh, command. Well, I'm just reading it 2024 version. You know our culture. I'm okay, you're okay. You know how we read the Bible now. God, that was a good idea. No, it wasn't a good idea. It was a command. Come on, someone say command. Do you know God still has the right to make a command? Everybody believe that? Okay. So let's check this out. On one occasion while he was eating with him, he gave this command. Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait. What did he tell them to do? Wait. Okay, remember that. But wait for the gift my Father promised, which you've heard me speak about. He was teaching them. We just read the upper room discourse, the Last Supper. So he's reminding them again. He says, wait for the gift my Father promised, which you've heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, in a few days you'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit. So when they met together, they asked him, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? Are you going to bring a physical earthly kingdom right now? We want that. What did he say? He said, then it's not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power. When? The Holy Spirit comes on you. And what happens as a result of that? You will be witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, to the ends of the earth. All right? So he tells them, you need to stay here before you go. Now, I'm going to give you another rattle based on our background. It's almost universally stated that the last words of Jesus were the Great Commission. Okay? Matthew 28, go into all the world, preach the gospel to all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. I'll be with you to the end of the age. That was the next to the last thing he said. All right. Stay with me. We're scripture here. This account we just read was following that. See, the last thing Jesus said was not go. The last thing he said was wait. And then go. Are you with me? Okay, so Peter waited. Peter stayed. Peter was new. I need some power. If I'm going to do this, something has to change. I need to be transformed. Are you with me? So go to Acts chapter 2, verse 1. So this is what preceded what I read to begin today. When the day of Pentecost came, they're all together in one place. Why? Because Jesus said, wait and pray. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on whom? Each of them. Verse 4, how does it begin? all of them, each of them, all of them, were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Then the crowd gathered. Then of all people, Peter stands up and preaches. It's amazing transformation. And so what I want you to see is, as we go through this, and what we need to realize is that Jesus told the church, the apostles, the leaders, the foundation of the church, he said, this is what I want you to do. Before you go to preach the gospel, you need to receive the power of the Holy Spirit. There is something that will transform you. There is something that will change you. In other words, he said, don't go on your own. The task I'm giving you is bigger than you. Don't go until you've been empowered. Don't go until I'm going with you. Remember, he said, I'll be with you. The Holy Spirit will indwell you. I'll be in you. I'll be with you. So Jesus said, don't go unless I'm with you. The Holy Spirit would literally come to restore and continue everything Jesus had been doing. He was going to write a new chapter. How many are ready for new chapters in your life? Yeah, he was going to compose a new chapter, not in the weakness of men, but the power of God. Did you hear me? It was a new chapter for every disciple. It was a new chapter. Listen, I want you to hear this. It was a new chapter for the disciples. It was the first chapter for the church, but not the last chapter for the church. This is what he began doing. They were transformed by the presence and the power of God. Look at Romans chapter 12 and verse 2. I'm laying foundation. I'm giving you a lot of scripture today. I'm teaching. I want you to get this. Romans 12 and verse 2. I want you to find that. It'll be behind me, but I'd like for you to mark this, okay? So this word transformed, they were transformed. That's a big word. I want you to hear me, church. Jesus, through the power of the Holy Spirit, is still transforming lives. You know what Dr. Billy Graham said? In one of his messages, he said, if Jesus hasn't changed you, he hasn't saved you. Amen. I want to say that again. Amen. If Jesus hasn't changed you, he hasn't saved you. This encounter with Jesus is not just a legal thing where my sins were forgiven and I'm okay. No, no, no. It's a transformation. He's pulling me out of that last chapter of failure, shame, and guilt. Come on, how many know what I'm saying? And transforming me into the woman or man I'm supposed to be to live my life and fulfill the reason I'm on this earth. Transformation. Church isn't trying harder. It's surrendering. Following Jesus is not keeping the laws. It's falling in love with the man who wrote the laws. It's falling in love with the man who empowers you to be the word. Not do I, can I obey it? Can I do it? Am I doing it? No, he puts his word in you. Ezekiel prophesied, he's going to take out your heart of stone. He's going to put in a heart of flesh, and he's going to write his word on your heart. Come on, how many want that kind of heart? Not I have to, I want to, I might. No, my heart is a different heart. I'm transformed. That's what Jesus does. Romans 12, 2. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world. Well, how do we stop that? How do I stop being lying, trying, but failing Peter? How do I stop making promises I can't keep? How do I stop getting saved every revival? How do I stop living this cycle in my spiritual journey? How do I do it? I hear you say, don't be conformed to the world. But let's read the rest of the sentence. There's a comma, not a period there. But be what? Transformed. By the renewing of your mind, then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, good, perfect, and pleasing will. Transformed. A transformation. It's we get from this Greek word metamorpho, we get our word metamorphosis. That's where, remember from your early science and biology classes, the little caterpillar spins a cocoon and crawls inside and comes out a butterfly. Metamorphosis, that's where that word comes from. There's a transformation. There's a change. I'm not who I was. I'm not the same person. I had an encounter with God that transformed me. It shifted me. It's changing me. How many are thankful we're still under construction? It's not done yet. I want you to see one more verse here, 2 Corinthians 3:18. Look at this. We need to get in our faith, in our heart, 2 Corinthians 3:18, that God can change our life. That we can stop doing what we were doing because we're not who we were. How many heard what I just said? I can stop doing what I was doing because I'm not who I was. I'm not that same man. I'm not that same woman. I'm not asking you to change. I'm asking you to let Jesus change you. I'm not asking you to try harder. I'm asking you to surrender. I'm not trying to tell you how to have religion. I want you to meet Jesus and the power of the Holy Spirit that can transform your life. 2 Corinthians 3:18. Look at this with me. And we who with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory are being, see the process, transformed into his likeness. Come on. Did you get that? Do you see that? We are being transformed into his image. That's good. We could go home with that. That's where we're looking for. I'm not asking God just to put up with me. I need God to change me. I mean, I know that sounds kind of cool and, you know, whatever. Trendy. And in fact, we'll hear people say, you know, God just loves me just like I am. That's true. But he loves you too much to leave you like that. He didn't create this sin thing we're born into. The devil did that and we fell in it. He created us to walk with him, know him, be in a relationship with him. And so, does God love everyone? He does. He loves this world. For God so loved the world that he said, I got to do something for him. He gave his only begotten son. Whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So God loved us too much to leave us in that fallen state. Amen. So look at this. We are transformed from there. We are being transformed into the image of Jesus. We're supposed to be daily more like him instead of like us. Amen. How does that happen? Amen. How does that happen? With ever increasing glory, how does that happen? Which comes from the Lord who is what? The Spirit. Do you know what's transforming you and me daily and making us more like Jesus and less like who we were? The power of the Holy Spirit. The power of the Holy Spirit. Well, if you and I try to do this thing, it's not going to work. But the power of the Holy Spirit begins to operate in our lives. The power of the Holy Spirit. Now, I want to show you something. I'm not condoning the movies, the series, anything else. I just want you to see something. Yellow bug. I don't know who the girl is. Don't write me letters and emails. I got no idea about the rest of it. I'm just showing the car, okay? I'm just a little yellow bug. I'm not a big Christian. I'm not strong. I sin every day. If that's true, don't pray it and act like you're proud of it. At least do me a favor. Do me a favor. At least don't make that part of your prayer life. You ever heard people pray, Lord, I know we sin every day. Well, quit. Quit. I got one word for you, quit. Well, how do I quit? Through the power of the Holy Spirit. If Peter could transform, you and I can transform. If that band of disciples can transform, we can transform. How? Through the power of the Holy Spirit. So that's, for many of us, that's our spiritual identity. I'm an old, small, little, outdated bug. I'm out on the beach getting ready to be washed out to sea. You know, you got the Valiant's playing. Lord, I'm just a little Volkswagen. You know, you're excusing your sin. You're making an excuse not to be transformed. Lord, you know who I am. This little sinner, God. Just a little Volkswagen in the vehicles of life. I go to church, but Lord, you know me. I can't ever change. It's just me. It's my thing in life. It's just who I've been. I'll always be this way. And then you try to pray, bless the Lord. No, that's not a testimony. That's not a testimony. Are you listening to me? It's not a testimony. I'll never do it. I'm just thankful that the Lord even knows my name. I know he doesn't have time for me. What in the world is that? He's busy over in China. He may hear me every once in a while, Lord. Stop it. Stop it. Stop it. Stop it. That's not you. That's who you were. That's who the devil said you are. But I want to tell you, now you got me. You got the picture. Now I want you to see how God sees you. Go ahead and run that thing. This is what the Holy Spirit will do for you. Oh, baby. You're a bad machine. You're a bad machine. See those beady eyes that you just scared the devil to death. The devil thought he had you and you rose up. Now, don't write me letters about Transformers movie stuff. I don't know. I don't care. I don't know what they did. I'm talking about that one scene. All right. Are you with me? Okay. So this is the deal. That's who you are. I want you to look at that. In fact, some of you ought to get your phone out and take your new picture for your homepage or whatever you call it. What's that little thing? Your profile. Thank you. My profile, I usually get out of the Bible, not of a picture. But if you want a new profile picture, there you go. There you are. There you are. Transformed. Isn't that what the word says? Transformed. The church today, I got to try to wrap this up. The church of America must rediscover who the Holy Spirit is and what he wants to do in our life. Are you with me? We need to rediscover who the Holy Spirit is and what he wants to do in our life, what he was sent to do. The miraculous transforming power of the Holy Spirit has been in operation since creation. His works have been throughout the Bible. Let me show you a couple things real quick. Oh, help me, Lord. Let's go to Genesis 1. Come on, it's going to be encouraged, those of you that wonder when I'm going to quit. I'm getting close, okay? Genesis chapter 1. Genesis 1. Look at this real quickly. The work of the Holy Spirit began in the very first chapter of the Bible and will continue through every part of this. Listen, the American church is dangerously close to discounting the work of the Holy Spirit. The American church almost doesn't teach and preach on who he is and what he does. The American church has substituted intellect and education theologically in the place of the presence and power of the Holy Spirit. Now, I have theological degrees. I am for education. I have studied hard. I am a studier all my life. I've never stopped studying. I honor the Word of God above everything in my life. But I know this much, that I am not capable in my intellect and education and ability to do what the Holy Spirit can do. And when the church begins to develop substitutes and counterfeits for what only God can do, we become a shell of what we are supposed to be. We must realize, recognize, understand, open our lives to the person and the work of the Holy Spirit. It will bring you from frustration to victory, from defeat to victory. So in the very beginning, just let me give you a couple of things here, and we're going to pray. Look at this, Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now, I believe that. Now, how did he do that? Watch. The earth was formless and empty. Darkness, that must have been stingy, I'll go on. The earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep. Watch this. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. So God is going to create. But creation occurred in the presence of the Holy Spirit. Watch this. Look at verse 3. And God said, when God speaks, in the presence of the Holy Spirit, creation happens. So I want you to get this. The presence of the Holy Spirit, the person and work of the Holy Spirit, is the avenue on which the creative power of God travels. The person and work of the Holy Spirit is the connection between the power of God and the circumstance you're living in right now. When the presence of the Holy Spirit was there and God spoke, creation happened. The first thing he said, what is there? He said, let there be what? Light. Now think of this. Let's come into this covenant, in the new covenant, in the gospel of Jesus. When the Holy Spirit is present and moving and recognized and received, and the declaration of the gospel of Jesus Christ is preached. See, when the word goes in the presence of the Holy Spirit, what happened? Jesus becomes reality. Who is Jesus? The light of the world. See, the Bible says Satan has blinded the minds of unbelievers. They can't see the light of the gospel. But when the Holy Spirit shows up, not the ability to debate and argue and be religious and give me your ritual, but when the gospel is heard in the presence of the Holy Spirit, God takes his Spirit, opens the heart of an unbeliever, the light comes on, and we see what we had not seen before. Just like the world was created, as the word was there in the presence of God, when the preaching or telling or witnessing of the word happens and the Holy Spirit is there, it creates an avenue for the power of God God to jump into the light of the deepest, darkest bound sinner on the planet, and the light comes on. That's how God began it. That's how the earth was created. It's how we operate. It's how we move. It's how salvation becomes available to us. Let me show you one more. We're in Genesis. Go to chapter 2 and verse 7. God's going to create man. Genesis 2, 7, the Lord God formed the man from the dust of the ground. And so he just had this perfect body form, but there was no life. Could that be the church in America today? The form is there. In fact, didn't he say in 2 Timothy 3, that in the last days people would come and all these things would happen? And you know what their characteristic was? They deny the power of God. So we come here, and Adam is formed. He's perfect. Every organ is in place. Everything's right. Now, in the Hebrew, the word for spirit is ruach. It means wind or breath of God. So here's this body, perfect. The potential is there. Everything's ready, but he's not living. So what did God do? The Lord God formed the man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the ruach, the wind, the spirit of life, and the man became a living being. You and I were dead in our trespasses and sins. Amen. Amen. We had a body, we had a mind, but we were spiritually dead. We were walking around in darkness, blinded, couldn't see it, didn't know how to get out of this thing. But then God walked into our life, and we heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. And the Holy Spirit opened our ears and our eyes, and we said, God, I don't have that, but I need that. And when I said, Jesus, I believe that you're the Son of God. Jesus, I believe you died on the cross in my place. Jesus, I believe that. I accept that. God, would you forgive me and change my life? Oh, I didn't know what I was saying. Come on, you didn't know what you were saying. Are you with me? I just know I needed a Savior. Anybody in the house? I just knew I was lost and needed to be found. I knew I was bound and messed up and jacked up, and I knew I'd had enough. I was sick and tired of being sick and tired. I was bound and wanted out. I didn't understand the theology. I didn't have anybody tell me what I'm telling you. I just said, Jesus, would you save me? I need to be saved. And in that moment, God went, and the breath of God blew inside George Sawyer, and a dead man came alive, and my spirit was full of him. And where I was lost, I was found. Where I was hopeless, I had hope. Where I was blind, I could see. Why? Because the Holy Spirit took the life of God and stepped inside and changed my life. It's what he does for you. It's what he does for me. I know we need to make sure we are walking in the power, in the presence, in the surrender of the Holy Spirit. Anybody with me today? I want you to stand with me. Worship team, I want you to come. We're going to pray some important prayers together right now. While you're standing, I'm going to give you the introduction to my message next week. Do you realize without the Holy Spirit, there'd be no creation? There'd be no universe. Are you listening? We're going to pray. No planet Earth, no human race, no Bible, no power to proclaim the gospel. There would have never been a virgin birth. There would never have been Jesus' resurrection from the grave. We would not be born again. There would be no Christians in the world. There would be no church for not for the Holy Spirit. I would say it's very important. So church, here's my prayer for us today. I want us to take a journey over the next few weeks until we come to a place where we say, God, I want a new chapter in my life. Lord, I thank you for what you've done. See, it's not just about, and I'm praying some people come to Jesus, you know, that someone will come to the place where George Sawyer did, that young college student, and say, you know, this is enough. Or some may be like my father-in-law, like Pastor Phyllis's dad, who had run from God his whole life. He was 58 years old. And he said, I'm tired of living like this. I'm tired of it. You know how good the Holy Spirit is? We didn't know it, but he told us later. In fact, we laughed and laughed. It was a wonderful thing. He told us the night we got the call from Texas that he got saved. And he said, you kids have been making my life miserable, praying for me. I didn't get to that, but I'm getting to that. It's called conviction. I'm so thankful for conviction.
Yes, sir.
Listen, if you go to church for a long time and you've never felt convicted, something's wrong. Do you hear what I said? My job's not to make you feel comfortable. My job's to preach the word. And when the Holy Spirit's there with his word, there are going to be some times where you're going, ooh, ooh. God help me there. You with me? God, I want to get that right. What a hope to know I can get it right. What a joy to know it can change. You know, a lot of people quit coming to church because they just feel guilty in the presence of God. That's so sad. You can change and quit feeling guilty. There's hope here. And so maybe you need to be saved. Maybe, hopefully, prayerfully, you love the Lord. You're born again. You're saved. But you say, God, I don't think this is the last chapter of my life. God, I want more of you.
Yes, sir.
You know, I've been born again a long time now. Well over 40 years. And can I tell you today, I prayed this morning before the sun came up. Oh, God, please fill me with the Holy Spirit today. God, please empower me today. God, please, I want to hear your voice more clearly. I want to know you more intimately. God, write a new chapter in my life. You know what I pray for this church? God, give us a new chapter at Calvary. Holy Spirit, come upon us. God, don't let us go through the motions. Let us get hungry for God. God, you're sending a revival. Why don't you send one here? Lord, you're shaking things up. Shake us up here. God, do what you want to do in this place. Anybody with me on that today? Anybody with me? I'm saying, Lord, take us on a journey. What an exciting journey. You know, for too many people, the only thing they think God does is make you feel guilty. You know what God really wants to make you feel? Hungry. 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 God, I'm hungry. Well, you know, when Peter walked out of that upper room, power of the Holy Spirit came on him and he preached that gospel, he did pretty good after that day. They went fishing again. Nothing wrong with fishing. He's going back to his old profession instead of preaching. Okay. I know some preachers that fish. That's good. It's okay. Problem was he went back on the call, went back on the deal. How many of you today say, you don't have to raise your hand, but you're saying, Pastor, I'm tired of going back. I'm tired of going through the cycle.
Yes, sir.
I'm tired of three steps forward, two steps back. God, I want to be empowered by your Spirit. That's where we're going to go starting today.
Thank you for listening today. We hope you found this message uplifting and encouraging. If you're looking to connect in person, we gather every Sunday at 10 a.m. You can also find us online at calvaryassembly.org. And don't forget to follow us on our social media platforms, Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube, for more content, updates, and to stay connected with our community.